Tukumihi kia koe, mere peka. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Irirangi Wāte. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Claudette.
Nabi o te
tauhou.
Yeah, kia koe hoki. Thank you so very much. Look, isn't it, you know, time has just flown, and for some of our whānau, it has just crawled on by. So much has happened in the last 18 months particularly, hasn't it?
Thank you so much for joining us here on Irirangi Wāte. Tēnā.
Our whānau have weathered such huge, huge challenges and huge storms over the last 18 months.
Oh, they certainly have. It's been, you know, the change that they've had to cope with, our whānau have had to cope with, you know, just everything, the environment, lockdown, you know, services that we had available to us before not being there for any great length of time. It has been, it's been a great change that I have to say that a lot of people have not coped well with as well.
Mm. Well, one of those communities of whānau are ours living in emergency housing. In 2020, ministers were warned by a range of providers, whānau order councils, that emergency housing was posing a risk to whānau and to the communities in which they're based. So a report was done in May of last year. What has come of that report? Because now we see that there are still ongoing concerns around emergency housing for both the whānau that are there, the communities. This isn't something that we don't want to point fingers at whānau at all, but nothing seems to have been put in place to transition, to support our whānau resources from the government. Is that how you see it?
Things have changed, Claudette, because the feedback from a whole range of people, the whānau themselves, the family themselves, that had to go into emergency and transitional housing, they've given feedback to the providers, MSD themselves and others who have been attempting to provide support services, but also from the community as well. So the things have stepped up. Yes, we still have, we've got such a large number of our community, you know, of people in houses, temporary accommodation, but certainly things have started to change. A better assessment is being done, putting families with like communities. I mean, families going into one specific motel rather than having goodness knows who's going to be living next door, oftentimes single people, many of them with significant behaviour issues as well. So there's been a lot of that done. There's also been some identification of lands that can be made available where housing, building of houses by Kāinga Ora and others is now starting. And that's going to be a process that we're going to, council is certainly going to facilitate and where possible fast track along as well. So there are things, but it's not going to be a quick fix. Look, Claudette, there's no way, if anybody thinks that the housing crisis in New Zealand that's been developing over the last 20 years is going to be fixed overnight, it is not going to be. And unfortunately, it's taking its tolls on some of those families as well.
Absolutely. Then what do you make then of the report from Jane Patterson from Radio New Zealand, as an example, that says the government has no plans to make substantial improvements, housing, emergency housing outside of Rotorua or around Rotorua. There are ongoing concerns about safety of motels amid reports of increasing levels of family harm, violence, crime, drug dealing, gang membership. The latest figures showing 4,500 children in emergency housing, a pilot rolled out in Rotorua, motels being contracted and better support offered, does not seem to have been provided in a timely, responsible manner, according to the National Party. So according to Pākehā media then, the situation has turned worse.
Well, some of these families were somewhere prior to COVID and prior going into temporary and emergency accommodation. So they were already in our community. Some of them were sleeping rough. Some of them were sleeping in their cars. Some of them were couch surfing. And so when we went into lockdown, there was an opportunity to bring most of these families together, whānau together, so we could actually identify what their needs are. And what we were confronted with was a real, you know, just a smorgasbord of issues and housing, Claudette, was merely one of them. So it's a whole of government response that is being that is required, and that is now what is actually happening. But as I say, it's slow going. It very much is. And I have to also say that a lot of people in our community don't want families from temporary housing or transitional housing anywhere near them, and that's the actual truth. They don't want them. They want them anywhere else, but in my neighbourhood. And so you've got that sort of attitude to try and deal with as well. So the assessment is being done better. Certainly, other rental properties are being looked at, and that's the desirable thing, is to get people into homes, and those homes can be anywhere in the community. But once the community finds out that there's a family there that's come possibly from a motel or transitional housing, the neighbours seem to get up in arms. That's unfair, and it's not right. And I think the community needs to actually hold the mirror up to themselves. And I would also say that to the National Party and anybody else right now who's doing reports on the state of the housing crisis in our country, hold the mirror up, and rather than highlighting all of the downside of this, why don't they say, well, what's my contribution? And the contribution that we can all be saying is, these are human beings. These are family members that deserve a head start. So let's get that one. Let's put that one to bed, that they may have issues. They may have, it might not just be housing. It could be a whole raft of issues. So we have to look at the total picture as well. But first of all, don't look at them as saying, well, you belong to the B team, which means basically get out of my sight. That is not productive. And we have to actually, that's the elephant in the room. If these people who talk about the homeless and everything, we're going to do what we can for them and et cetera. But in fact, they really will do anything as long as they don't have to be seen where they're living or in their area. We've got to get over that and say, these are people, our people. They are new fellow New Zealanders who need help, and let's see what we can do. And that means the DHBs, that means council, that means iwi themselves. I mean, for goodness sake, in Rotorua, you have to say, where's the iwi been all of these last few years? They could have done something. We've got marais that have been empty all over COVID. What a beautiful place for them to have been housed, and then learning about who they are as well. So, we sometimes, we look for others to provide the solution instead of looking to see what we can do ourselves.
Then I guess what we're seeing here is still victim blaming by some of the Pākehā media and the opposition. That would be fair to say, victim blaming at its best yet again. Is there any issue? Is there any justification, or is there justification or real concerns by communities that actually they may very well be uncomfortable walking past these motels where there does appear to be some disruption, nuisance forming outside? There have been reports by whānau who say that they have been intimidated. I mean, what this is a packing together of a group of people that really do need to have wraparound support around them. Lumping them together like this and having no support, you're bound to have some kind of ripple effect of disruption, are you not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you are right, because there are, just up from me, I mean, it would have been about 20 to 6 this morning, and I heard this hell of a ruckus outside my home. I've got a backpackers about two doors up from me where a lot of single people are staying. They've been put in there. It's been used as temporary accommodation. And there was some person, it was a woman, a Māori woman. She was obviously, highly agitated. God knows if she was on anything, swearing like a trooper. Running up and down the street with a broom, and the guy was ducking for cover somewhere, and all of that. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I was going to open the window and say, oi, move on, move on and move out sort of thing, because that's not the sort of behaviour that you want. So sometimes they do have to look at themselves as well and just say, if you're going to be living in close proximity, how about, having a bit of respect for your neighbours? But I think a lot of them, maybe the issues are perhaps too severe for them to actually know what they're doing. Or, and I think you've hit on it, Claudette, the support services are not there. I can tell you, I know for a fact, because I know two of the guys that live in that venue, nobody comes to see them. Nobody has inquired, have they had vaccination? Nobody's inquired, are you able to get medication for your high and complex needs, which I know one of them has. Nobody comes near them. you know, have they got sufficient food? Have they got even got a benefit? All of these sort of things. So initially, particularly the single ones, the families, there tends to be more of a concern for them. But a lot of our men, they're just abandoned and put in those places and get them off the street. And they've just abandoned them in there too. So I do want to see everybody who's got a hand in making sure that we can improve the accommodation, you know, the housing situation for a whole raft of people. I want them, all of those who've got a vested interest in that, getting together and say, okay, who's looking after that location, that site there? Who's looking after this one? And who's going in and every couple of days making sure, first of all, making sure they're safe. First of all, making sure they're safe. And so it is high in COP. There are things being done. That is true. More can be done, absolutely. But I really don't want to see the National Party prattling on. Why don't they come up with some suggestions? Nobody's interested in the problems. We know the problems. We've had them up to here. It's now solutions. If you've got a solution, let's listen to them and let's see. Yes, that's a good one. Let's put some effort into making sure that we develop that solution further. That's what I want to hear.